Here's your pass to the Globe Theater. This is the Globe Theater, the radio playhouse especially for men and women of the armed forces of the United Nations. Just as the Globe Theater has meant the best in entertainment since the days of Shakespeare, today it means the best in radio drama for servicemen and women all over the globe. Here to tell you about tonight's play is your host at the Globe Theater, Herbert Marshall.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Globe Theater. If there's any serviceman or servicewoman in our audience by the name of Shakespeare, he or she is doubly welcome. For his great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather, or hers, may have been the William Shakespeare who made the original Globe Theatre famous a few centuries ago. At any rate, we aim to continue in the tradition of the original Globe by bringing our worldwide audience the best and most varied radio entertainment we can find. Tonight, we're going coy on a very average American family, the Archers. Like many families, the Archers consist of a father, a mother, and a daughter. In this case, the daughter's name is Corliss, and she might very well be your own kid sister or a gal you used to take to the ice cream parlor when you were in high school. The role of Corliss is played by Janet Waldo, and the problems confronting her were concocted in the imagination of F. Hugh Herbert. The Globe Theater curtain rises, and we invite you to meet Corliss Archer.
As our curtain rises, we find Corliss and her friend Mildred down at the bookshop, browsing through the latest drugstore literature on the rental shelf, nudging each other occasionally to read in awed whispers certain purple passages.
Oh, golly, Mildred. That spot was terrific. How do you find passages like that?
Oh, wait, here's another one. Taking her in his strong arms, Calvin hungrily kissed her soft, yielding lips while the tropic winds brushed her long, golden hair against his cheek. Oh, brother, isn't that wonderful? Yeah. Golly, why do we have to read things like The Red Badge of Courage and Gulliver's Travels in school when there's literature like this in the world?
Well, maybe they figure we couldn't talk about this in class.
Maybe so. Oh, golly, I almost forgot what we came in here for.
Oh, yeah, a book for your father.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you getting him a book all of a sudden, Corliss?
Oh, it was so super of him to give me that charm bracelet. I thought I'd just buy him a present, too. And he loves books.
Well, there are lots to choose from.
Let's see. There's a Fisherman's Manual, but he doesn't go fishing enough to want that.
Well, why don't you get him a book on law? Lawyers always have just stacks of books in their offices.
Well, Mildred, that's exactly what I'll do.
Let's see. Here's a copy of the state traffic law.
Oh, no, not that. Here's what he'd like. Blackstone, a whole set. He has a set now, but it's so worn and shabby it can't be much good. I bet he'd love a new one.
Looks pretty dull to me.
Well, silly, all law books are dull. That makes them much more impressive.
How much is it?
Oh, golly. $75 for the set.
And how much money have you got?
95 cents.
Maybe you better buy the state traffic laws.
Oh, golly, I wish I had lots of money.
Yeah, don't we all?
You know, Mildred, if books can sell for that much money, think how much the person who writes them must make.
Sure. I heard my father say that a friend of his sold a story to a magazine for $1,000.
Oh, no, not really. Golly, that's terrific.
Yeah, and then they published it in book form, and he made another $2,000, all off one story.
Oh, golly, Mildred, it ought not be so hard to write a book.
Yeah, I don't know, Corliss. I should think that...
I bet all you need is some paper and a typewriter and... Well, you just take a boy and a girl and let them fall in love. I'm going to try it.
What?
I said I'm going to try to write a book.
Oh, Corliss, that's really funny. The idea of you writing a book.
Well, what's so funny about it?
Well, Miss Hilton sent you down to the principal last week because you got a D on your theme in English Lit.
Oh, my goodness, Mildred, you can't get an A every time.
No, but you get a D every time. By the way, what did the old boy say to you? Was he tough?
Oh, no. Mr. Prendergast is really an old dear, even if he is a school principal. He said that he knew I really had talent and that I could do better if I tried.
So, if I wrote a book, I'd sort of live up to all he expects of me.
Corliss, a book is lots longer and harder than a theme.
Well, then I won't write a book. I'll just write a story. If they pay $2,000 for a book, well, I only need $75, so a short story ought to do just as well.
What time is it, Harry?
6:10.
Oh, I wonder what's keeping Corliss. I told her distinctly that we were having dinner at 6 o'clock.
Oh, she'll be along. Oh, by the way, dear, something very funny happened today.
Yes?
Oh, this is terrific. You'll simply die.
Well, for heaven's sake, Harry, what is it?
It's about old Mr. Prendergast.
Oh, that dear old man. Is he making out another will?
No, not this time. He came up to the office to make a transfer of property, and he and I had quite a confidential chat.
Oh, something about Corliss's schoolwork? Has she been...
Nope, this has nothing to do with Corliss.
Oh, that's a relief.
It's really amusing. He's such a funny old duck. Lives in a sort of dream world all his own. Did you know he's writing a book?
A book? Something about education?
Oh, heavens no. Far from it. That's the last thing in the world you'd expect from the old duffer. Seems he's always wanted to write a romance, so he spent his evenings for the past year or so writing that darndest novel. Not for publication, understand, but just to get it off his chest. Of course, he made me listen to the whole plot.
Well, is it good?
Oh, Janet, it's simply terrible.
Oh, really?
But I had to listen. Oh, he made me swear on my word of honor I'd never tell anyone about it. You never heard such fantastic drivel in your life.
Well, dear, I think you could tell me. After all, I'm your wife. What's this book about?
Honestly, the title alone would knock you over. It's Purple Passion Flower. Can you tie that?
Oh, no.
Isn't that something?
Go on, Harry. Tell me the plot. Sounds fascinating.
Let's see. The chief character is Drexel Farnsworth, who is the black sheep son of an English baron. And when I say black, I mean black.
Yes.
So
oh,
this...
Mom, I'm awfully sorry I'm late. Hello, Daddy. But I just forgot time it was, and that's why I'm late.
Your father's telling a story. Sit down, dear.
Oh, I'm sorry, Daddy.
Go on, Harry.
Well, as I told you, this character, Drexel Farnsworth, is a black sheep. So his father kicks him out of the castle, and he goes to sea.
To see what, Daddy?
To sea, my child. S-E-A.
Oh, I see. I mean, I get it.
All this takes place about 200 years ago. Well, anyway, Drexel assumes another name and goes to sea and becomes a pirate, first class. And pretty soon he's known far and wide as Ramos Ramirez, the Scourge of the Caribbean. Oh, I forgot to tell you, he operated in the West Indies.
Uh-huh. Go on.
Well, he turns out to be quite a guy. When he hits port, they lock up the women and barricade the doors because he had a habit of choosing the prettiest girls and sending them away to his island hideout.
Oh, dear me, what a story. Go on.
Well, all goes well till a new governor comes to the West Indies, and of course he turns out to be old man Farnsworth, the boy's father. And he swears to hang Ramos Ramirez by the neck until dead for his crime. Little dreaming, naturally, that it's his own son, Drexel. But the interesting part is, after his first wife died, old man Farnsworth married again. A very young and beautiful girl who used to be engaged to Drexel before Papa threw him out on his ear. Well, this is a little too much for our hero.
Aha, the plot thickens.
Oh, go on, Daddy.
So, Drexel lays siege to the governor's palace, hangs his father, burns the town, and kidnaps the girl. Takes her to his lost island and makes love to her in the tropic moonlight, happily ever after.
Oh.
And that, roughly speaking, is the story entitled Poiple Passion Flower.
That, Harry, is some story.
I thought you'd get a kick out of it.
Oh, Daddy, that's perfectly wonderful.
What?
I really never dreamed you could make up stories like that.
Well, Corliss, I didn't...
Harry, remember your promise.
Yes, well, what I mean is... sure, Corliss, I often dream of things like that.
Oh, I think it's perfectly wonderful.
I'm glad somebody thinks so.
It's simply super. Why don't you write it up and sell it to a magazine?
Because, Corliss, I haven't the liberty to do so. That, among other reasons.
Oh, Daddy, that's a shame. A story like that shouldn't be wasted.
Well, Corliss, that's a 10 sheet of paper you've thrown away.
Dexter, when I said you could come in here with me, you agreed to remain perfectly quiet.
Gee whiz, I just came over to ask you to go down to the drugstore for a soda, and I've been here an hour, and you haven't said to a word to me, hardly. You just sit there and tear up paper.
This is something very important, Dexter.
Well, at least you can tell me what you're doing.
Oh, all right. I'm writing a story.
No kidding.
Uh-huh. At dinner tonight, Daddy told Mom and me the most wonderful story he dreamed up, all about the son of an English baron named Drexel Farnsworth, who was a pirate and kidnapped his father's wife. Oh, it was really a pip. And I'm writing it down, and I'm going to sell it.
Gee whiz, that's your father's idea.
Well, the only reason I'm writing this is to buy him a present, and he can't object to sort of helping me out when it comes to an idea.
But, Corliss, your old man might want to write this story himself.
Well, I asked him why he didn't write it, and he said he didn't have the liberty to do so. He's frightfully busy these days. Oh, golly, Corliss. The first few pages of this sound terrific. How much longer do you think it'll take?
Well, she's been working on it 2 days now. It ought to be finished soon.
Dexter, I can't do my best work if you rush me. Mildred, how do you spell voluptuous? V-O-L... Why don't you make it slinky? That's easier. Oh, gee, Corliss, this is just super. How did you think it up?
Well, the plot is really Daddy's, but since I'm writing this just to buy him that set of Blackstone, well, I didn't see any harm in sort of using his idea.
Then I just remembered some of those love scenes we read down in the bookshop.
Drexel stood there in the patio with the sun gleaming from his bronze shoulders, and withdrawing his cutlass from his scabbard, he faced his father.
Oh, this is the best part, right here.
Screaming, the lovely Irene threw herself at Drexel's feet and pled for mercy. Drexel smiled and, lifting her up, held her close in his arms, kissed her eyelids, and then... Holy cow, Corliss.
Isn't it wonderful?
Holy cow.
Have you thought of where you're going to send it, Corliss?
Mm-mm, not yet.
What about Harper's Bazaar?
Oh, they just have fashions and things. They don't go in a lot for passion and stuff.
Liberty?
I don't know. You have to have a drag to get into Liberty.
Oh. How about the American?
Sure. That's a good magazine, all right, but golly, it only comes out once a month, and I've got to have the money sooner than that.
Well, Corliss, here's an idea. I don't know why we didn't think of it before.
Oh, what is it?
Why, the newspaper, of course. Look, they print stories. Why don't you send it to them?
Sure, Corliss. They got a short story page. See?
Oh, uh-huh. Look what it says. To promote and encourage the development of new writing talent.
Well, I'm certainly new writing talent.
Well, anyway, you're new.
And only first published stories by new authors will be accepted.
Well, golly, that's a wonderful idea. And with a newspaper coming out every day, well, gee, I ought not to have to wait so long for the money.
If they print it.
Of course they will. Oh, golly, I can hardly wait. This will show Miss Hilton I can do better than a D on that old theme. And golly, won't Mr. Prendergast be thrilled? Oh, dear. I wonder who that can be.
You might answer it and find out.
Okay. Hello?
Is this the Archer residence?
Yes, it is.
I'd like to speak to Miss Corliss Archer, please.
Well, this is she. Or should that be her? Anyway, it's me.
Well, Miss Archer, this is the short story department of the Daily Chronicle.
Oh, golly, it is? Oh, Dexter, it's the paper calling. Yes?
Well, we received a short story from you in the mail a few days ago, Miss Archer, and we wanted to notify you that we're going to use it on our short story page next Thursday.
Honestly? Oh, that's simply too wonderful. My goodness.
Yes, Corliss, what is it?
Be quiet, Dexter. Next Thursday, you say?
Yes, next Thursday. And we'd like to get some biographical information about you. Now, would you please answer a few questions?
Of course.
How old are you, Miss Archer?
Well, I really look much older than I am, but, well, I mean, everyone says that when I wear my hair up...
We're only interested in your age and years, Miss Archer.
Well, you can say that I'm practically 16.
Age 15. Now, I wonder if you have a picture you can let us have, Miss Archer. We'd like to run it with your story.
Picture? Oh, yes, I have one. It's terribly young-looking, though. If I had time, I could have something more sophisticated taken.
Well, we'd like one of you just as you are. Oh. We'll send a boy out after it this afternoon. Well, congratulations, Miss Archer, and thank you very much.
Oh, thank you. Goodbye.
Well, holy cow, Cora.
Oh, Dexter, isn't it simply too wonderful? I'm really an author.
Gee whiz, that's swell. When did they say they were going to print your story?
On Thursday. Oh, isn't it just too thrilling?
Well, look, aren't you going to tell your mother?
Oh, no, Dexter. I'm going to wait till Thursday and let her be surprised. Golly. I wish I had a more mature-looking picture to give him. This one here on the piano is all I have. Dexter, I wonder if any other authors wear hair ribbons.
Well, Corliss, here it is, tonight's paper.
Oh, let me have it. The suspense is awful.
Hey, wait, that headline.
Dexter, you can read the war news later. Editorial, society page.
Here's the comic.
Financial page. Here it is, short story. Oh, Dexter, look.
Holy cow, they did print it. With your picture and everything. What's it say under the picture?
Story by one of the youngest writers ever to appear on this page. While the story leaves much to be desired in the matter of technique, the plot shows evidence of great imagination, and some of the love scenes are strangely mature to have been written by a girl so young.
Does it say anything about paying you for
it? Let's see. In payment, we are sending Miss Archer a check for $5. Oh, Dexter, they're actually paying me for it.
Corliss, where are you?
Out here on the porch, Mom. Come here, quick.
Well, what's the matter, Corliss? What is it?
Oh, Mom, it's the most wonderful thing. I've become an author.
What?
Here. Look at the paper.
Purple Passion. Oh. Oh, Corliss.
Isn't it simply too tremendous for words?
Oh, it's terrible. Oh, Corliss, you don't know what you've done.
Well, what do you mean,
Answer
Mom?
Answer the phone, will you, Dexter?
Yes, Miss Archer.
Well, God, I thought you'd be proud of me.
Oh, wait till your father sees this.
Well, gee.
It's your father on the phone, Corliss. He wants to talk to you. Here, take.
Oh, golly. Hello, Daddy. Did you by any chance see
I certainly did. Corliss, for the sweet love of heaven, why on earth did you do such a crazy thing? You are the most
provoking... Well, golly, Daddy, what are you so mad about? I mean, anyone would think I'd committed a crime.
And they'd be right. You have committed a crime.
What crime?
Plagiarism.
But, Daddy...
Corliss, I want you to come down to the office right away. Grab the first bus.
Golly.
What's up, Corliss?
Golly, I don't know. Daddy was simply livid. He said I was guilty of... pellagra or something.
Pellagra? That's no crime. That's a disease. It's often fatal.
Oh, golly. It sounded fatal, too.
Hello, Corliss.
I think Daddy wants to see me. He told me to come down right away.
Yes, he's expecting you, Corliss.
Shall I go in now? I mean, is he alone?
No, Mr. Prendergast is with him.
Mr. Prendergast? Oh, golly, is it about the D I got in English Lit?
You better go in and find out.
Oh, yeah, I guess I better.
Come in.
Hello, Daddy.
Oh, there you are. Come in.
Yes, Daddy. Good afternoon, Mr. Prendergast.
Good afternoon.
Mr. Prendergast, I already told you how... sorry I am about that D I got in English Lit. And honestly, I took everything you said to heart, and I really...
I am not here to discuss your schoolwork, Corliss.
Oh, golly, that's swell. I was afraid...
Corliss, sit down and stop jabbering.
Yes, Daddy.
Mr. Prendergast saw the afternoon paper, Corliss, and he's here to discuss that.
Oh, golly, did you like it, Mr. Prendergast? Did you like it, Daddy?
Corliss, for the sweet love of heaven, why do you do such insane things?
Well, are you mad because I swiped your idea?
Oh, unfortunately, Corliss, it wasn't my idea that you swiped. It was Mr. Prendergast's.
Golly, Daddy. You mean you swiped it from him?
Some time ago, Corliss, I told your father in strict confidence the theme of a romantic novel upon which I was engaged.
Mr. Prendergast? You mean you dreamed up Purple Passion Flower?
Well, I...
Golly, I never thought you had it in you. But, Daddy, when I asked you who wrote it, you never told me that Mr.
My child, I never even realized you were listening so avidly and with such ulterior motives. And it seemed more simple at the time to claim that I'd written it than to reveal the fact of Mr. Prendergast's authorship.
Oh, golly, we are in a mess, aren't we?
What I resent so bitterly, Mr. Archer, apart from the betrayal of my confidence, is the way I'll be ridiculed.
Well, just to keep the record straight, Mr. Prendergast, the story was published under my daughter's name. If anyone's ridiculed, it'll be Corliss.
Oh, yes, of course.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's a wonderful story, Mr. Prendergast. Mildred was terrifically impressed, and the only one who thinks it stinks is Dexter Franklin. And surely you don't care what Dexter thinks. Mildred says...
Corliss, be quiet. Fact remains that you've published a story of which Mr. Prendergast is the author, and that is what is legally known as plagiarism.
But, Daddy, I wrote it all by myself, even if it was Mr. Prendergast's idea. I know. Wouldn't it make it all right if I split the $5 with him?
Excuse me, Mr. Archer, but there's a man here to see you.
I can't see anyone, Miss Hibbs, until this matter's straightened out.
The man really wants to see Corliss, Mr. Archer, and it's about her story in the paper.
No, it never rains, but it pours. All right, Miss Hibbs, send him in.
Yes, Mr. Archer. Will you go in, please, Mr. Miller?
Yes, thank you.
This is Mr. Miller, Mr. Archer.
How do you do?
How do you do? When I called your house, Mr. Archer, Mrs. Archer said I'd find both you and your daughter here. I suppose this is Corliss?
Yes, sir.
And this is Mr. Prendergast, Mr. Miller.
How do you do, Mr. Prendergast?
How do you do?
I suppose, Mr. Archer, that since you are not only her father, but also a lawyer, you take the responsibility for Corliss in the legal matters?
Yes, Mr. Miller, I'm afraid I do.
Yeah. That's fine. I represent the Ace Motion Picture Company.
Don't tell me the plot was stolen from you, too.
No. But it happens that this is the kind of a story that Ace is interested in. Now, I happen to be in town, read this story, and I said to myself, this is it. Terrific publicity angle. Story written by a schoolgirl of 15 who puts the hero of her imagination on paper. She's young, beautiful, talented. Well, I phoned Hollywood and they liked it. Thought the whole idea was terrific. So they authorized me to buy an option on the story right away.
Authorized you to...
What? Though I realize it's not really great literature, Mr. Archer, but it's the plot we're interested in. Now, I'm prepared to offer Miss Archer $100 for a 30-day option.
I beg your pardon. Did you say $100?
That's what I said. That's correct.
Oh, golly, that's just super. Oh, but Mr. Miller, the story isn't really mine.
Oh, it isn't?
Mr. Prendergast here really wrote it. It was all a terrible mistake. I just sort of accidentally borrowed it, kind of.
Oh, is that so? Well, then you're the real author.
Yes, I believe I am.
Well, that alters the publicity campaign somewhat. You see, you're not young and beautiful.
No, I'm not.
It's too bad. However, since it's really the story we're interested in, I'll offer you the same amount for the option, Mr. Prendergast.
Why, I...
Just a moment. As Mr. Prendergast's attorney, I think we'd better discuss this further. My client couldn't possibly give you an option at less than 200, Mr. Miller.
Oh, but...
Very well. 200 it is.
And the price if the option is taken up?
Well, now, what would you say to 1,500?
Why, my dear Mr. Miller, we couldn't consider less than 25.
Well, you drive a very hard bargain, Mr. Asher. But, 2,500 it is.
$2,500?
That's right, Mr. Prendergast. If you agree, we can draw up the papers right now.
Oh, I agree, all right.
Good.
I'll just leave the details to you, Mr. Archer.
Daddy, is it all right if I go now?
Why, yes, Corliss, unless Mr. Prendergast has something further to say to you.
I think I'll speak to Miss Hilton about that D on your theme, Corliss. Anyone with your imagination obviously rates better than a D.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Prendergast.
And about that $5... You just forget about returning it, and here's 10 more as a sort of commission.
Oh, golly, thanks. $15. See, Daddy, I knew I could make some money writing.
You've been listening to another adventure with Corliss Archer, coming to you from the stage of the Globe Theater. Janet Waldo was Corliss. F. Hugh Herbert wrote the script, and O.P. Cates conducted the music. Next performance from the Globe will bring you a musical, a special radio adaptation of Porgy and Bess, with Etta Moten, William Franklin, the Eva Jessie Choir, and Alexander Smallins conducting the orchestra in the George Gershwin classic. Listen to this preview.
With Bogey today, I got a pocket full of the buckler money, and it's going to any man what's got the guts to shoot it off me.
Get on down from that wagon, Porgy. We'll take it.
Head down.
All right, men, roll him. We done wait long enough.
You best wait for Crown. I seen him coming. Looks like he ain't gonna stand no fooling.
Is Bess with him?
Listen to Porgy. I think he's soft on Crown's Bess.
Oh, I never swapped two words with Bess.
Porgy got too good sense to look twice at that no good Bess.
Why, that gal Bess ain't fit for God-fearing ladies to associate with.
Can't you keep your mouth off, Bess? That
poor gal ain't got a chance.
And I tells you, Porgy's soft on her.
Here comes Bess now. Hello, Bess.
Hello, Sporting Lions.
Hello, Crown.
Hi, boys. All right, High Stepper. Get your mouth and throw them dice. I'm talking to you. Anybody answering me?
Come home, little bones. Come, Form.
Your dice, Crown. I passes them. You take them, Porgy.
Oh, little stars, roll. Roll this poor beggar. A sun and a moon.
Hold out.
Nine, Jamaica. Come now.
You got the dice conjured.
Read them, Crown. Nine, spot, and a nine. Right.
Touch that money and meet your God.
Get your hands off me, you lousy hound.
Hound, put that knife away.
God almighty, he killed him!
If you're a lover of good music, you'll make a plan now to hear the Globe Theater production of Gershwin's Porgy and Bess over this station at an early date. All of the cast from the stage play will be on hand, including Alexander Smolin's Symphony Orchestra. Until then, this is Herbert Marshall wishing you good luck, good listening, and I'll be seeing you.
You have been listening to the Globe Theater with Herbert Marshall as host and master of ceremonies. The Globe Theater is presented for servicemen and women of the Allied Armed Forces all over the globe. Listen for our next Globe Theater production soon. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.